Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, A-Trey, and I hope all of you have had a very good week. Thank you for joining us, and I'm glad to have everybody here today. I've had a challenging week, so if I stumble a little bit today, everybody just bear with me. I would like to introduce my wonderful co-host, and Dr. James Moore.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
I'm holding up all right, man. I know your week was tough, as you mentioned. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm cool. I have Lady Treese with us. Lady Sincere, how you doing
morning,
today?
Good morning, everybody. Doing good, and you?
Good morning.
Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. How you been, Trey?
I'm great. Thank you. Mr. Felton, Chris Felton, glad to have you with us today. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, Chris. James, Lady Therese, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Thank you for asking.
We've been having this thing in our nation, and it hasn't been addressed. It's just been looked at. And today we have we're going to have our little forum. Let's talk. Okay, so more mass shootings. And the question is this another normal day in America? Thanks to our author, Dr. Moore. People have access to guns. We blame gun violence on mental health. We refuse to discuss guns in America in the context that's valuable to the denizens. And the question is, should guns and their accessibility be restricted? What are the rules? What are the perspectives? Is the president trying to take our guns away? Is the country trying to abolish guns? You know, is it going against our Second Amendment right? Is gun control the responsibility of the mental health field? Why is there stigma or negative perception about simply this discussion of gun control? So that's what we're going to discuss this week. And we're going to check out the phenomena that's guns, that the explosiveness of it. And we want to tap into it. So I'm gonna start it off a little bit, and I would love for somebody to assist me or to just chime in. I was looking at a statistic, and you guys know I'm going to bring a bevy of them, but there was one that was called the mass shooting tracker. And then there was the Life phenomena. That's also from Life, even though the magazine's no longer there. The coroner's daily. That's something that's relied upon by the federal government. Over 994 mass shootings in America. 294 of those are known. They're sporadic. And then some of them, they just don't get airplay, but they happen. Those are still accounted for as mass shootings. And on school campuses, it's been 142 since those 26 people got killed in back in December 2012. What was that? Sandy Hook Elementary. 142 school shootings. 142. That's bananas. And I there's one question. What are we going to do about it? There was a shooting. Young man, his name is Charge. The spelling is a little different. Devin Diavante, Charge. And this is in Southgate. You don't know where that's at? That's California. It's Los Angeles. It's over where most people, oh, Compton, you know, Compton. Yeah, well, anyway. Southgate is that spot where, you know, you hardly hear anything about because, well, you know, South Los Angeles. Matters a damn. Kid's a sixth grader. Rolls up into class, got tired of being bullied, went home, got his grandmother's gun, came back, popped off seven kids. They want to try him as an adult. You don't hear anything about it. He got his tail kicked, handed to him, and sent home on a couple of times. But it was accessible, and so he did it. There's no press. There's nothing. And they're going to try him as an adult. Self-defense. This is what he, you know, self-defense. He doesn't know anything about it. He just said, hey, look, they kept beating me up, and I got, you know, I got scared. I got tired of it, and so I shot him. This kid over here at NAU, he came up against four of the fraternity brothers. You know, fraternities are synonymous with hazing. And they're synonymous with being obnoxious. In the memory of the individual who passed away, I'm not going to throw any salt, but they sometimes they don't have the coolest things, and I know that firsthand, Kappas. But here's something. What does it take for somebody to just snap like that? Who does that?
Well,
why?
Any of us have the potential to snap like that because, I mean, if you're dealing with bullying and, you know, mental health issues, like, you know, in fact, all of us, we have that potential. My thing with statistics is that statistics can be used to lie. And in fact, I think more often than not, they're used to lie. We hear a lot of talk about
really?
The average. Yeah, they can be. We hear a lot of talk about people talking about the average individual going off and shooting somebody, you know, because they were having a bad day. But we never talk about, like, when police do it. And police do it probably more than the average individual does, especially California.
You got that from statistics?
Especially in California. I don't need a statistic for that. Like, you see that on even the news. I don't need a statistic for that.
Well, okay, I need to chime in and say a little something here about statistics because that's part of what I had to do to complete school. I think you can skew statistics and mess with perspectives if the statistics aren't done properly. Properly garnered statistics, you can't. They tell the truth. I think the people can lie. Statistics don't lie. Like you had the gentleman who was, I think it was Chaffetz, who had. You know the cross arrows with the diagram, and he had the lower number higher, and had no correlation because there was no x and y axis. Both, I think, in an instance like that, yes, statistics can be skewed, but it's the person, it's not the stats. Stats are stats. If 1,000 people died, that's it. 1,000 people died. That's not a skewed stat. That's just a stat.
So you don't believe that people can juke the numbers?
No.
Or
I'm saying statistics don't lie.
People
lie.
Maybe I chose my words incorrectly. Maybe I should say that statistics can be used to lie, and especially when there's an agenda involved. So I'll say that.
I can see that, but I'm saying the numbers themselves are just the numbers. You know, that's, you know, two
okay,
plus
and,
two is four,
all
and that doesn't
right,
mean, you know, lie. But I think we're digressing.
142 people, campus shooting. That's a statistic. What would be the agenda? Who would profit?
Okay, but what
would gain from 142 statistically captured shootings. Who gains from that?
What about the numbers of police shootings of unarmed individuals that are when it's simply just a routine traffic stop? You know, the Sandra Bland thing.
Okay, they're not mutually exclusive.
Let's stay on point. I'm just saying.
The fact of the matter is that we want to talk about mental illness and the gun issue. When you get into mental illness, any one of us can snap at a moment's notice. So who's to determine who's more mentally stable than the other?
Okay. All right. Here's something.
Does that mean I don't have the right to self-preservation?
Did you ask a question or were you just making a statement? Because if you here's the thing.
I'm just making a statement. Does that mean I don't have the right to self-preservation?
Here's,
I might have the right to go off at any given moment? Or is that what you're afraid of? Or you're actually afraid of me having a weapon to defend myself?
No, it's not a matter of you having a weapon to defend yourself. You know, if you just got a job and you need a car, you don't have to drive a BMW. You can drive a Volkswagen to get from point A to point B.
Right.
You don't need a Lexus 425. You don't need a BMW 745i. You don't need a Ferrari 450 GT. You can use a Gremlin. You can use that Toyota. You feel me? You can get from point A to point B. It does the same thing.
So you're wanting to take certain things off the market.
If they're saying that heavy artillery, if they're saying arsenal type weaponry should be removed from general use, then I concur. Everybody can go to the store and get that 9mm Glock or get that 357 or get that LJ7 Luger, that hand gun. Wonderful, joy. Do you need an AR? Do you need an AK? Do you need an M16 or M15?
Do you need a Spectrum?
Do you need a Desert Eagle? Do you need those? If you do not sell them, it's no longer an issue.
If you don't sell them, does that mean like the police and the military don't get them, or does that mean that I don't get
them? Police, you know what? The police don't need that kind of weaponry either. Your military, that hands off. It's your military. That's just common frickin' sense that they're going to be more heavily armed. But here's the thing. When you start going onto the internet and you have Uzis available, what's the Uzi for? Of course you're going to have the bad element looking to it.
Right, and that's a valid point. I think both of you are making valid points. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that any military-style weapon should be available. Is that what I'm understanding, that it should be free game?
That's not what I'm saying. My viewpoint is that you can outlaw things all you want to. Criminals are going to do what criminals do. They don't follow.
Agreed.
So they're going to get it regardless. That's just going to you by you outlawing it. You're just making it things harder for the average everyday individual. So here in Arizona, Arizona's gun laws are really lax, which I don't have a problem with that. I don't see an issue with that. My problem comes where you want to start outlawing certain things to where I'm unable to acquire them, but somebody who doesn't follow rules like I do sometimes is able to get to them. And also if you're police or military have.
I'm going to give you another perspective. The schools and the mass shootings, these aren't being done by criminals. These are being done by those everyday folks that you're saying should be allowed to get those weapons. You're right. Criminals are going to do what criminals do. But when a criminal garners a weapon, I'm not going to say every single criminal, but, you know, they're looking at, they're doing robberies and kidnappings, things where police are going to be available. Police are not necessarily available in your sixth grade class. So when a kid who's a sixth grader walks in, you know, he has an AR-15 or you know, fully automatic AK or something like that, he's not a criminal, not until he pulls the trigger. But my point is, you know, we can ban weapons, sure, some of them. I don't think that an Uzi should be available for the average everyday citizen. Realistically, no need for it. I don't even think there's a need for it in certain criminal organizations, but they feel that. You know, I'm a gun owner. I have pistols and a rifle.
I don't
take it to the movie theater.
I don't see an issue with it. I mean, what you guys are talking about is, and like I said earlier, like any one of us has the potential to snap at any given moment, you know, just based upon, you know, me, and that's just based upon my knowledge of working in the mental health field. When I say they, I mean the powers that be. When people go and talk about like people that they don't mental health people are crazy and things of that nature, they're using these broad terms, but in actuality, they're really trying to use it to describe the general population. Because, as I stated earlier, any one of us, that could be any one of us at any given time, you know, enough factors are involved to where, you know, four or five things happen, bad things happen to us all at once. You know, some of us might not be able to handle it. And we pop off, go off. I think they call
ladies,
it. Yeah,
you've been, okay. Ladies, Therese, you've been silent in this whole thing.
I
want to hear your perspective too. I want you to come in there with this. I'm sorry, excuse me. And we would like for some of you to touch base with us today. Call, let us know. We would like to hear your input as well. 347-855-8662. And I apologize, we never extended that offer to you earlier. But I am now. I'd love to hear your opinion. Love to hear what you have to say on this subject. And go ahead.
I just want to say one thing. I mean, I think it's sad that you can't even go to school to learn without worrying about mass shootings. You know, there's been so many copycat crimes from the Columbine shooting, NAU, Oregon, Virginia. I mean, when is it going to be enough? And then as soon as something big happens, the first thing a person say is, oh, it was mental, or this person had this problem, or they had that problem. You're not mental if you're growing up with these big guns, these AR-15s, these shotguns. It's like, you know what you're doing. Like the guy that shot up the theater. Now he's claiming that he's insane. You know what you're doing when you go inside the theater with that kind of gun. Now you're saying that you're crazy. You know what I mean? It's like, it's sad that you can't even go to church now, as we saw with the South Carolina massacre. So it's coming to a point to where something has got to be done. Maybe that you start doing some kind of testing evaluation before you get a gun or something like that. But for this to keep happening and nothing is being done about it, it's getting scary. It's getting real, real scary. And go ahead.
I think that's what the powers that be are counting on, that people are getting scared and they, you know, as I stated earlier, I firmly believe that there's an agenda to disarm the American public. People like Dianne Feinstein, Eric Holder, they've all gone on record stating that they want this to happen. So I personally don't necessarily believe that Uzis and things of that nature should be available to the public, but if a criminal has one and I have a 9mm,
that's the argument. Are you going to say because my neighbor got one and I should have one too?
Because
my neighbor can kill 50 people, I should be able to kill 50 people too. Is that the argument, really?
Okay.
Is that how it goes?
What I'm saying is that if my neighbor has a high power capacity weapon and I just have like a machete, odds are he's going to win.
Let's say I'm your neighbor and I've got a cannon or a bazooka, just mm-hmm. going with that same line of thought, does mm-hmm. that mean that everybody on my street should have one?
No.
Not necessarily they should have one, but they should have something that's at least an equalizer.
I mean, yeah. I don't think nobody should walk around with a 357 Magnum
against a guy who he has them in his house. So you have one.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does it stop? And I feel you. You say, you know what, I should have this because it makes me as secure as the individual who has it for themselves. You know?
Okay.
It seems like
a very stupid argument, man. And I get where you're coming from, but understand where I'm coming from. Like, if you start outlawing weapons, even AR-15s, if you go that route, because things in government always start in small increments. If you go that route, pretty soon it's going to be, you know, they're going to start trying to outlaw, like, you know, trying to start outlawing like 45 or 50 calibers. Next thing you know, it's going to be 9
mil. Still get them, right?
Like, yeah, criminals are still going to be able to get them, man. It's the average individual that these laws that you guys are talking about making, that's who it's going to affect. It's not going to affect the criminals because criminals don't care.
I get your point.
Hold on. We're losing control. Hold on a second.
I get your point.
I think we're talking about outlawing high-capacity weapons, weapons that can take down buildings and murder 3,000 people in 7 minutes.
I know what you're saying, but
I'll give you straight dope from a military perspective. Now, I'll tell you right now, I would put my money against anybody with a 40 cal or a 9mm that's trained versus a knucklehead with an Uzi who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And I'll tell you any day I'm going to put my money on that guy. If I'm buying an Uzi, it's probably because I can't shoot.
So are you saying that I would rather have somebody that's well trained, as you stated, with any one of those guns. I don't see anything wrong. What's wrong with just training everybody how to use if they're responsible? What's wrong with that rather than just outlawing them altogether?
Who to decide? Who to decide who's responsible?
Criminals are going to get these things regardless. They always find a way to get
them. Right.
So what's wrong with just instead of outlawing them, what's wrong with training people to use them? What's wrong with that?
Okay.
I respect that.
Train everybody to use that AR.
Right.
Train everybody to use that
Buzzard.
Train everybody to use that.
I've always said that every man, woman, and child that's able and mentally just able to do so should be.
Wait. What? Rewiring. Every man, woman, and child that's what?
I say every man, woman, and child because I'm from the country and my dad taught me.
I understood, but you said,
That's able.
Mentally?
Able.
Did you say mentally?
No.
Mentally able. You said mentally able.
I said able. Yeah. That's able.
But that's able to utilize
self autonomy and willing to preserve, because that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about the preservation of the self.
That's a utopian world.
That's if the world was perfect, and if that were the case, then we wouldn't need the guns in the first place.
Jets, we both have a couple of – we all have valid points here, but I want to address something specifically that Chris is pointing out. Chris is saying that we shouldn't put a ban on the weapons. We should train people properly. I think maybe that should be part of the purchase, is you got to be trained first. But
I concur.
Let's say that I get trained properly on my Uzi, and then for some strange reason, or your neighbor gets trained properly on their Uzi, but they, like me, lock it up properly. And they have a mentally – we'll say non-evolved person you're dealing with who's happened to snap, as you mentioned. And everyone has the potential to snap. Now, if that person
Everybody
has
does.
The potential to snap, I don't want him to have access to his daddy's Uzi. Not that a nine
But we all have that potential. We all have that potential. That's the thing.
Right. Okay.
We all
so
have that
potential. Now, my question
it's
then
just,
becomes,
it's,
is conversation in the right arena? Because we're talking about banning weapons, we're talking about training, we're talking about mental illness. Do we have an all-encompassing solution? Because we can't ban weapons. We don't want to ban weapons because that goes against the Fourth Amendment. I get that. Okay? We can't fix everybody's mental problems because that's practically impossible. We can do something about that. And we have these issues that fit in that gray area in between, this miasma that we're dealing with, and we have to find that happy medium. I love the idea of training. That's beautiful. I was in my uniform where I taught. I'm not going to tell you where I was teaching, but I had my uniform on. Walked into a gun store and said, hey, I want to look at this pistol. He said, yeah, here you go. Here's how much it is. So I bought the pistol right there in my uniform from work. And then he said, how many rounds do you want? I was like, you can buy the rounds and the pistol at the same time? In this state, yes, you can. Now, he didn't check to see if I was mentally stable. I had a uniform on.
Nope.
He said, do you have a driver's license? He ran my driver's license, gave me a weapon and 100 rounds of ammunition and said, have a great day.
Well, how do you check?
Now, I
could have
been on my way
somebody
to the bank. See, and that's the issue.
What determines,
okay,
what
here,
determines
here,
if somebody
let me,
is
if
mentally
I can,
stable?
If I can, John, if I could chime in right there. Listen. In the last four largely publicized shootings, each one of those individuals were found to have been dealing with mental issues, recorded mental issues, meaning they were seeking assistance. Here's what happened. Each one of them has recorded records that they purchased, didn't steal it, didn't knock it off, didn't borrow it from, you know, Hebro, you know, Jamal or Juan, you know, or Mr. Ricky Blade up the street. No, they purchased them with a history of mental disturbance.
What determines what's mental? Because me being
listen, when
me
you
being OCD,
have suicidal, when you
OCD
have suicidal,
is,
when you have suicidal thoughts or tendencies, when you vocalize that you have suicidal thoughts or tendencies about yourself,
let me finish.
I let you finish, and it's my belief, my opinion, that if you have suicidal thoughts or tendencies, that's the disruption of destroying yourself, and you have it recorded, and you have it recorded. Someone else was listening. How is it that I, in the general public, can take comfort that you won't have those same ideas, opinions, or tendencies toward the general public or me?
But
Is a valid question, my friend.
No, it's a valid question, but what I'm telling you is that all of us have that potential.
And here's the question. What's the
right,
solution?
But I think
give me a solution.
I have a solution, Chance. I think that when it is discovered that someone has a situation like that, we need to come up with a system where, whether it's a mark on their driver's license or something to notify anything that requires a driver's license to be presented or some sort of identification, that person's in some sort of a database. Now, that could be scary to people because who wants to be in a database? So we have a grander issue that we have to deal with.
I appreciate everybody's input. But, again, unfortunately, we have to bring this to a close. But we are going to revisit this again. Hey, I appreciate everyone responding, and I'm sorry that about the caller we dropped. Raise your glasses, bottom to the top. Remember, every thought is grand, every idea is warranted. And for every step you take and for every idea and endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point.
On point.
Well, next week, we'll pick it up.